Auckland's number one for music. On the Arm.
Cool FM.
It's 6 o'clock. I'm Jordan Motes in Killyleagh, where earlier today a major incident was declared after it was feared up to 100 people were in the water on Strangford Lough.
It was blowing hooligans, but it was a good sail. Wind came out of nowhere towards the end of the third race, and there was a big squall, and it knocked a lot of boats on their side. But as I say, East Down responded very well, the club, with rescue, and everything was under control.
The incident has now been declared as over, and in an update we now understand only around 20 boats had got into difficulty. East Down Yacht Club had this statement a short time ago.
The fleet started to head ashore when a squall of 31 knots passed over the race area. The effect of this was that some of the GP14s capsized. This is not unusual situation. The crews are trained on how to right their boats. Unfortunately, a further stronger squall registered 37 knots following the first, capsizing a further number of the fleet.
At the height of the operation, two Coast Guard helicopters were scouring the shores for people in trouble. Everyone has now been accounted for. However, a number of people did need medical treatment, as John McPullen from the ambulance service explains.
When they first arrived at the scene, they were confronted with some casualties being taken out of the water and others who had evacuated themselves from the water, and they just had a wee quick check over to make sure none of them were seriously injured, and then as more casualties came out, they were all assessed at the scene.
This was the start of a week-long boat race on the lock that could have ended in tragedy. Now with the rest of today's news, here's Richard back in the studio.
This morning we're launching our exclusive Take Care, Get There campaign to drive home the road safety message. Our chief reporter Jordan Motes has the details.
Over the course of this campaign, we'll hear the story behind the tragedies on our roads.
This is, they call it empty nest syndrome, and I'm here now on my own, like, and it's just close the door at night slowly, because I always was here at night, but now I would do anything for him to walk in the door. I would even go myself and let him come back if it was possible.
We'll hear how families have been torn apart in a split second.
Kevin was so badly injured that we couldn't even consider donating his organs to help other families.
And how loved ones have had to make that heart-wrenching decision to turn off life support.
Sit around his bed and switch his machine off, you know, and listen to all the beeps and all the machines just disappear. I mean, whatever that driver girl was going through, it was nothing compared to what we were going through. You know, she probably was feeling remorse, but she certainly wasn't going through what we were feeling.
As part of our Take Care, Get There campaign this morning, we're speaking to a Strabane mother whose only son was killed by a drunk driver. Our chief reporter Jordan Motes has this exclusive story.
Simon Glenn was driving to the airport when he was killed by a drunk driver in 2011. His mum, girlfriend and three-year-old niece were seriously injured.
I heard him taking his last three breaths, just one after the other, and I knew he was dead.
His car was hit by an 18-year-old who was driving 2.5 times over the legal limit. Simon's mum, Tina, told us she was devastated by the crash.
I always believed that God lent him to me, but he only lent him to me for 26 years. But he needed him to come back and help him, because he was an angel here, and God needs angels.
Simon has been described to me as a gentle giant who worked hard. Tina told us her life hasn't been the same without her only son.
This is, they call it empty nest syndrome. And I'm here now on my own, like, and it's just close the door at night slowly, because I always was here at night. But now I would do anything for him to walk in the door. I would even go myself and let him come back if it was possible.
And you can hear more from Tina on our website.
First up this hour, the PSNI are dealing with tens of thousands of offences on our roads every year. From September 2013 to the end of August this year, the PSNI gave out over 26,000 fixed penalty notices or discretionary disposals. As part of our Take Care, Get There campaign, our chief reporter Jordan Motes spent a day with officers from the Road Policing Unit.
Well, we are on the A1 dual carriageway just outside Dromore with what's commonly referred to as the speed gun. With me is Constable for South. The speed limit here is 60. Explain what's just happened.
I noted one travelling in lane 2 at quite a bit faster than the rest of the traffic. He was doing 80 miles per hour. I stepped out onto the road and I pulled him in. He immediately apologised. He knows himself that he's speeding, but he's 20 miles an hour over the limit. He gets the option. Would he like to go to court or would he like a fixed penalty ticket at the side of the road? And he chose a fixed penalty ticket. So I issued him £60 and 3 penalty points.
And speeding is not the only issue on the roads here. We have just passed a driver on his mobile phone. Constable Anderson took the lead with that offender.
As he tried to negotiate a roundabout, when you're trying to think of indicating, slightly gear selection as well, and negotiating the roundabout, he was busy talking on the phone. You could see his lips moving in conversation. Fairly common thing nowadays. We were able to get him stopped then, and I spoke to him, and he knew he was wrong. He had no hands-free as such. At the same time, it didn't matter. He was issued them a fixed penalty ticket, which he totally accepted and understood he'd done wrong.
It's also worth pointing out the vast majority of road users were sticking to the law.
Hospitals across Northern Ireland are dealing with hundreds of people critically injured on our roads every year. As part of our Take Care, Get There campaign, our chief reporter Jordan Moats has spoken to one family who made the desperate dash to A&E.
Spending time in hospitals is never fun, but imagine having to wait on news about a loved one who's been critically injured in a car crash.
This doctor came into the room, he just knew that his head was down and he just knew that the game was up. We thought he was actually maybe he was dead, but he just said, we've stopped giving him fluids. He says he's not going to get out of this, you know.
Kevin Hughes was involved in a collision near Drumquin in County Tyrone in 2011. His brother Declan told us the hardest decision was turning off life support.
Sit around his bed and switch his machine off, you know, and listen to all the beeps and all the machines just disappear. I mean, whatever that driver girl was going to, it was nothing compared to what we were going to. You know, she probably was feeling remorse, but she certainly wasn't going to what we were feeling.
Kevin was so badly injured, his family couldn't even donate his organs to help other families. Declan says it took a while for the reality to hit home.
You actually almost feel like you're removed from it. You don't actually feel like, when you're looking back, you think it just didn't happen. And, you know, I remember my father and my mother, and I'm sort of trying to look after them. Are you okay, Dad? Are you okay, Mum? And I'm sort of thinking, then my brother's lying dead on this bed, you know. Do you feel kind of removed from it? You know, it'll take maybe 3 or 4 days for it to sink in properly.
The Fire and Rescue Service have been called out to deal with over 600 collisions this year alone. In 73 of those crashes, someone lost their life. As part of our Take Care, Get There campaign, our chief reporter Jordan Moats has been speaking to one of the firefighters.
I don't like the silence. That's the worrying thing. If there's silence at a road traffic collision, you start to worry, because the old saying, if they're screaming, they're breathing, and that's always a good start.
Rory Donegan has been called to hundreds of collisions in his 21 years as a firefighter. Dozens of them have been fatal. He told us a few in particular stand out.
Family coming home from church, two people killed, a mother badly injured, and the young son seriously injured, 7-year-old girl killed. Those single car collisions where somebody's been lying in a field maybe all night, and you're thinking, you know, did they die alone? There's a lot of comfort in knowing that somebody was with their child or their family member when they breathed their last.
Many firefighters attend crashes that involved loved ones. Rory wasn't on duty the night his family got that dreaded call.
We talk about life-changing, it's devastating. Time doesn't heal, it just numbs. I lost my sister and her boyfriend to a road traffic collision in 2004, and we're still suffering.
First up this morning is a Downtown Radio Cool FM exclusive. A month on from the Giro d'Italia, could Northern Ireland be going pink again? With more, here's our reporter Jordan Moats.
Since the Giro d'Italia finished the big start, the big question has been of its legacy. Well, during an exclusive interview, race organiser Darren McQuaid told me there are proposals to bring a sister race here.
The Giro have launched a mass participation event called Gran Fondo Giro d'Italia. We're working hard to hopefully host one of those in Northern Ireland in 2015, 16 and 17. That's a mass participation ride which looks like the Giro, feels like the Giro, smells like the Giro. So that's going to be a nice immediate legacy event.
Thousands of people lined the route over the 3 days of the race last month, and Dara says the public's buy-in really impressed the Italians.
I think it was certainly their understanding that pink is the colour. So to see the public embrace that colour pink in so many creative ways, it was really, really fantastic. And it absolutely blew the Italians away.
The race allowed Northern Ireland to showcase what it has on offer to over 600 different countries. And we can exclusively reveal there are plans to bring the Giro d'Italia back again.
Why not? You know, it started in Holland twice. So, you know, why shouldn't we go get it back, and we could visit different parts of Northern Ireland, Derry and Enniskillen and who knows where else. So I'd be happy to begin working on that very soon.
Our top story this lunchtime, and an elderly woman was moments away from death as her car began to sink in the River Ban last night. The pensioner was pulled to safety from the stretch of water in Portadown by members of the public. Our chief reporter Jordan Moats spoke exclusively to one of the rescuers.
I'm back at the scene of this potential tragedy last night. The woman drove into what she thought was a car park. Instead, it was an overflowed River Ban. Well, with me is Robert Best, who was one of the rescuers last night. Robert, explain the scene that unfolded.
She'd somehow managed to drive in to the river. The car was sinking, you know, badly submerged. Lucky enough, the car window was down. She was hanging out and screaming for help.
Robert, when did you know something was really wrong and someone's life was at risk?
Straight away. The car was just above water and sinking at an unbelievable rate. Those other guys had mentioned that the police were on their way, but there was no time to wait. I mean, her life was at stake, and I would say moments later she probably would have been dead.
And most importantly, you couldn't actually swim, so you risked your life. Did that ever make you think twice about helping?
No, it was always my intention to go and help. She's one of God's creatures. She's a human being, you know, and it's not an option. I mean, to save someone else's life, I mean, it's a must.
Well, we understand the woman did receive medical treatment and the fire service are now at the scene pumping away any water.
The royal couple had a busy morning with three public engagements in the city. Their first stop was at the notorious Crumlin Road Jail. Downtown Cool FM's Jordan Moats was with the Queen and Prince Philip for every step of their tour.
Her Majesty arrived at Crumlin Road Jail to a massive cheer from the crowds who waited to greet her. She was met by Dame Mary Peters at the front gate before she made her way through the big, massive fortified doors into the jail itself. In the courtyard just at the front steps of the jail, the royal couple met with politicians, including the Lord Mayor of Belfast and the First and Deputy First Ministers, where Peter Robinson did mention to the Duke of Edinburgh he spent a day or two in the jail himself. The Queen and Duke of Edinburgh had the opportunity to look inside some of the cells where the prisoners were held during their time here. The Duke of Edinburgh was particularly interested in the condemned man's cell at the very end, where a noose hangs where the prisoners sentenced to death would have been hung. The royal couple finished their visit by making their way out through the back door of C Wing, where they met a few school children, and then they got in their cars and made their way to the Game of Thrones set in the Titanic Quarter.
90% of people who had a cardiac arrest at home last year didn't survive. A new strategy has been launched to get more people to learn CPR. Our reporter Jordan Moats has been speaking with a grandmother whose life was saved by her daughter.
Keep going until the crew physically take over from you. All right?
Poor mummy. You're doing a good job. Hang in there, mummy. Hello, we're in the kitchen here.
That was the dramatic 999 call when Pauline Miller was forced to carry out CPR on her mum after she collapsed last year. Sheila Osborne told us she went into cardiac arrest and stopped breathing.
Put the kettle on, I went to the cupboard to get the tape bags, and I said to her, there's only one tape bag. And that's all I remember. Until somebody was asking my name, and I have a funny feeling I was in the ambulance then.
Her life was saved when her daughter swung into action and started chest compressions. Pauline says it was instinct.
It was only after, when Mum was actually in the ward in the hospital, did I actually start to realise this could have been very, very different. It would have absolutely broke our family if Mum wasn't here today, and we're so, so very lucky.
On Wednesday, we brought you the story of how Derriachy woman Pauline Miller saved her mum's life with CPR.
Three, four. Mummy, you're doing a really good job. Come on there. 3, 4. Mum, I love you. You know that, don't you?
Sheila Osborne went into cardiac arrest and her life was saved when her daughter swung into action. Now Jordan Moats has the latest developments in this story.
Well, listening to that dramatic 999 call and interview was Declan O'Mahony. He's the chief executive of HeartSign, the UK's only manufacturer of automated defibrillators.
We hear about events like this all over the world. Our products are in 70 countries. So we see events like this every day. This one is particularly close to our hearts. It's because we heard about it on Cool FM. All of our 100 employees here heard about it on Cool FM. We're all talking about it. So it's really touched our hearts.
Earlier this week, he heard Pauline Miller tell us how she saved her mum's life with CPR. He now wants to give the family a defibrillator to place in their local community. Pauline says she's overwhelmed at his generosity.
Oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. Absolutely wonderful. Totally honoured. It's just fantastic. She can't believe it. She's actually very overcome. She's said that from coming from a cardiac arrest to promoting CPR to be donated defibrillator to be used within the community is unbelievable. It's absolutely amazing.
And with so many places to choose from, Pauline and her mum Sheila are still deciding on where to place it so everyone can have access. Downtown Radio, Cool FM News. I'm Jordan Motes at the Senate Half in Belfast, where a silence has been held for Armistice Day. The 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month marks the moment World War I ended in 1918. There are no surviving veterans from that conflict, but veterans of other wars pause today to remember them. Thousands of men, both Protestant and Catholic, from right across the island of Ireland lost their lives. Today in Belfast, dozens of people braved the weather to pay their respects, including Bob Brooks, who served in World War II.
I've lost so many good fellas, and I think of them very often. Fellas just got married, you know, killed the next day, awful. All the names come back to me at a meeting. I forget about them both during the year, and then on a day like this, I think of the boys that didn't return.
Now, with the rest of today's news, here's Naomi Holland back in the studio. FM. Downtown Radio, Kill FM News, it's 1 o'clock. I'm Jordan Motes at Belfast City Hall, where a special reception is being held for Carl Frampton. On Saturday night, the 27-year-old beat Kiko Martinez in front of 16,000 people to take home the IBF Super Bantamweight World title. Today's reception has been organised by the Lord Mayor Nicola Mallon, who's with me now. Nicola, you were there on Saturday.
I was, and it was an incredible experience. The atmosphere was electric, and it's something that I will remember for the rest of my life.
And he's a great ambassador for Belfast as well.
He's an inspirational role model, both inside and outside the ring. He's an incredible ambassador for Belfast, and he's doing wonders for our city. And today is about giving the people of Belfast the opportunity to show Carl and his family just how proud we all are of him.
And just looking around the grounds of City Hall, you've really pulled out all the stops today.
We have, because he deserves the best, and today is about giving him that. And as you can see, the number of people that have turned out just to wish him well. This is a wonderful celebration for the city, and it's something that we're all very, very proud of.
Well, there you have it. The stage is set, and now we're just waiting for the world champion himself. It's 5 o'clock. I'm Jordan Motes at Stormont, where it's crunch time for our politicians.
Well, I think everyone in Northern Ireland wants the same thing. That is an economy that grows, politics that work, and a society that gets stronger.
The Prime Minister has jetted into Belfast for negotiations on outstanding disputes here. David Cameron told a news conference he's hopeful for an agreement.
And we've got to demonstrate we can resolve those issues over the budget, over finance, over flags, parades, the past, important issues. And the people inside that room will be discussing them and talking about them, but the people outside the room, they're the people who matter, and they want to see their politicians can deliver.
This afternoon, roundtable talks were scheduled before a series of one-to-one meetings. It's thought some sort of financial package from the Prime Minister could help seal a deal. However, Sinn Féin's Martin McGuinness says the UK government has more to do on the budget issue.
This place here is different. This is not the north of England. This is not London. This isn't Scotland. And this isn't Wales. We are a society emerging from conflict. And the legacy of all of that has posed huge problems for our executive.
There are many issues on the table that need dealt with. Flags, parades, the past and how Stormont itself works. The Deputy First Minister says there has to be an agreement on all those issues.
Sinn Féin are in this for a comprehensive agreement. We have stated that from the outset, and I think anything less than a comprehensive agreement will be seen through by people as being lacking in substance.
The Prime Minister has cleared his diary, so it looks like these talks will continue well into the night and into tomorrow. Now, with the rest of today's news, here's Alex Carey back in the studio.